Hi, this is Pat Gohn, author of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious, celebrating the gift of Catholic womanhood. Welcome to 10 Bodacious Basics, 10 minutes at a time. This is a short podcast-style tour through the book with excerpts read by yours truly. Listen each day for a new insight or reflection about the blessed dignity, the beautiful gifts, or the bodacious mission of women. Each day on the blog tour, a new question will be posed at the host blog about the day's theme. And comments at the blog become your entry for a chance to win a copy of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious. I hope you'll join me in this conversation today and tomorrow as the book completes its trip around the blogosphere on Friday, April 26th. Today's audio tour stop is brought to you by In the Heart of My Home, created by Elizabeth Foss. This is part 9 of 10 Bodacious Basics, and our topic today is Tips for Aspiring Spiritual Mothers, and our theme comes from Chapter 9. Our world suffers for lack of spiritual mothers. We need women who can make a difference through their own brand of maternal leadership. We need women who are encouragers, who are willing to be more than energetic cheerleaders. We need spiritual and moral mentors. We need women who look to God first in all things and who know how to impart what they've learned. We need more downtime with uplifting women and more upbeat women who know how to get down on their knees. We need bodacious women, spiritual mothers, willing to take on a fantastic person-to-person mission. I've always appreciated this definition of spiritual motherhood that came from Katrina Zeno's book, Discovering the Feminine Genius. She says, spiritual motherhood means nurturing the emotional, moral, cultural, and spiritual life in others. All women are called to give birth physically and/or spiritually. All women are called to be Christ-bearers, to receive divine life in the womb of their souls and bear Christ to the world. All women are called to see in Mary's spiritual motherhood a reflection of their own lives. If all women embrace the call to spiritual motherhood, they would ignite a nuclear reaction that would spread the culture of life throughout the world. The feminine genius would set the whole world on fire. I want to pause here to say that my book goes on to talk about this idea of spiritual motherhood quite a bit. But for those of us who are just hearing the word for the first time, here are 5 recommendations for aspiring spiritual mothers. And I share these based on my own experiences and what I've observed in others. I'm limiting my focus here to spiritual motherhood among women for the moment, as it's often the easiest place to start. Number 1, make friends with one another. We need to create a non-competitive sisterhood that lifts the hearts and minds of women to Christ and supports others prayerfully and charitably. We must celebrate one another's successes and be willing to stand in the mud next to one another when life is raining down hard on us. Number 2, find 3. To be socially well-rounded, every woman should try to befriend at least 3 women, a woman who is older than herself, a woman who is younger, and at least one from her peer group. These women should be women whom she might learn from and share her faith with, even if those friends are not exactly involved with their faith or church. Intergenerational conversations bring learning and fun to all sides. If you're stumped on how to do this friend thing, ask Mary to make a connection. Number 3, raise the fun quotient. Joy is contagious. Be a joy catalyst for everyone around you, or die of laughter in the attempt. Your mileage may vary, but remember, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a downcast spirit dries up the bones. That's what it says in Proverbs 17:22. Do things that bring a smile or joy to the woman you want to befriend. This means paying attention to what delights her and acting on it. Number 4, pray with one another. This is a tough one for many people. Remember, we're talking about spiritual motherhood here. Spiritual necessities cover words and deeds in our lives. Therefore, we ask, seek, and knock, and give our lives more and more to Christ through prayer. Use these words to remember how to pray with another person. Ask, seek, and knock. Here's how. Always ask first. Would you like to pray about this now? If your friend affirms, continue. If not, offer to pray for her when you pray privately or when you go to church this week. If she would like to pray, then move on to seek. Silently seek the Holy Spirit's guidance to be with you as you draw in a breath. Then knock. Like you're politely knocking on heaven's door, this is where you actually pray out loud with your friend. Keep it simple. Say something like this. We'll just bless ourselves, and then I'll mention the need or the prayer intention out loud, and then we can pray an Our Father and a Hail Mary. See, that's a simple way to start. Have faith. The more you do this, the better and easier it gets. Make this a habit with your friends, either formally or informally. And number 5, use the 4 gifts of receptivity, generosity, sensitivity, and maternity. What does this mean? Let's talk about being receptive. Ask what's on your friend's heart, then listen. Give her permission to speak without having to share your stuff. Give her undivided attention. Focus and follow up on things, even if you have to put a note on the calendar to remind you to do it. Add the following sentences to your vocabulary. I really like that about you. You are beautiful. Thank you for being thoughtful. Is there some way I can help? Tell me what made you happy today. Tell me what was hard about that. Come for dinner. What would you like me to pray for? I forgive you. I love you. All right, so that's the first gift. Be receptive. The second gift, be generous. Give with no thought of return. Pay it forward. If your friend needs something, give out of your own pocket if your means allow. Ask if you can enlist others to help if there are huge needs, and then do it. Do something that requires extra effort. Say an extra rosary for her, or go to Mass for her intentions. Share what you know. Offer to teach a skill or mentor in a competency that you have. Sure, drop off dinner when she or her family is in need. She will love it. Whether you cook the meal yourself or picked it up from that nice Italian place on the corner. Bring her to church. All right, we've covered being receptive, being generous. Now, be sensitive. Commit. Be there when you say you will. Don't bash, trash, or insult your friend's husband, boyfriend, children, parents, boss, friends, even if she does. Call first. A personal note trumps a text or an email every time. Speak honestly when asked about something difficult, and respond with twice the love you'd normally show. Whenever you think she looks like she needs some help, that's your cue. Help. If a disagreement or a misunderstanding is older than a month and you haven't dealt with it, just let it go. Surprise her just because. And when in doubt, bring chocolate. Here's the 4th gift. Be maternal. Give life. Smile. Soothe hurts. Encourage. Cheer for every pregnancy and grieve every loss. And remember dates that are important in your friend's life. Nourish guests with food within your means, but let your welcome be extravagant. Invite others into your life. Offer to mind the children and give a young mother a day off or a night out with her husband. Call that single mother, you know, and don't let her off the phone till you have a date to help her get that project done. Remember, you don't have to be her therapist. Good friends can help, but deep wounds often need friendship plus professional care. Help her find a counselor or a confessor. Often she needs both. Be the one who gently recommends the sacraments. Be that friend who is willing to bring a frightened friend back to the sacrament of confession. Tell her you will even go with her and pray outside the confessional the whole time she is inside. And then never ask her the details. Be trustworthy. Be affectionate within the boundaries of comfort and propriety. It's okay to ask her if she wants a hug or needs a good cry. When your friend is suffering, do what you can to stay open and empathetic. Let your attitude reflect moral stability. I will stay. I will cry with you, or I will hold your hand even when you can't explain it. We will get you through this together. I will not stop praying for you. You are not alone. And then keep your word. This is Pat Gohn. Thanks for joining me for this stop on the blog tour. Tomorrow we'll visit the Happy Catholic. For now, look for details on how you might win a copy of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious right here at In the Heart of My Home.